You're listening to You Talking to Me with Big JD, where I talk to everybody about anything and everything, a different guest and a different topic every week, right here on the All Talk Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to You Talking to Me. I'm your host, Big JD, and today I'm talking with Ruth Smallman about quilting. Hello, Ruth. How are you?
Okay.
Good. Were you interested in sewing before you were got into the quilting thing? Or?
Yeah, I started sewing in grade 9, making my own clothes. So
that's a home economics course, I guess?
Of course.
Was that strictly sewing, or was it like a whole sewing, cooking kind of thing? Because I was in there before,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, sewing, cooking in grade 9. I didn't like the cooking part.
No?
No.
Still?
No.
I think I threw a pie at somebody and I got kicked out of home economics, so I never did learn anything, really.
What did you get for your mark?
I don't think I got a mark. I just got thrown out of there. Never did get to sew anything. I never got to, it started with the cooking thing and then we were going to get into sewing. And So I got into sewing a little bit later on, with your help, I might add.
Well, thank you.
And what got you interested in the quilting part? Because we wouldn't have done that in school, would you?
The
quilting thing?
No.
It's a little more advanced, I'd say.
I don't even know if you'd say it's more advanced. You can start out very simple in quilting and then get advanced. But as far as what got me interested, you know, I'm not even sure where it started or how long ago I started quilting, but I do remember I got a quilt given to me that my grandmother made for my firstborn. And I think maybe that's where I got interested. It was something Grandma did and something I wanted to do too.
Mm-hmm. And did your grandmother do that a lot? Like, did you see her quilting and
I
stuff like that?
I never, ever seen her quilting.
No.
Never.
No. Maybe she bought the quilt.
No.
No. I think you hear that a lot, though, of grandmothers or, you know, maybe your mother, but grandmothers quilting and things like that. And
for sure.
And do you converse or have discussions or things like that with other quilters? Do you ideas maybe? And
For sure. I have a couple of friends that are quilters and we talk. There's places like quilt guilds, different groups that get together to talk about them. You can go online and find all kinds of discussion boards about quilting.
Mm-hmm. A guild, you say?
Yes.
Is that more a professional type thing?
No.
A quilter's guild? It sounds
It sounds professional. No, it's a group of people. I'm not even going to say women because there's men in it. Mm-hmm. They get together.
Oh, men quilt?
Sure.
Okay.
Why don't you?
No, I'm just, I don't know. Maybe
yeah. They get together, discuss new fabric lines that might be out or different projects they want to do, different charitable projects they might be doing together. And just to get together because that's one way of making sure you get something done.
Mm-hmm.
You have no interruptions because this is about quilting.
Right. Do you find a lot of quilters are involved with the craft thing? Craft sales, bazaars, things like that, or selling their quilts and things?
In a craft fair setting, I doubt it because the cost involved in quilting, you never recoup by setting up a quilt at a fair or anything like that.
Just from what I've seen, it looks like it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah. I guess it's a little bit easier when you know what you're doing, but it still looks like a big job, I guess depending on the size, but quilts are always look big.
Yeah, but they're quilts aren't always big, but the ones that you're familiar with that you would call a quilt, yeah, they're big, they're on your bed.
Yeah.
But there is quilt art that's hung on walls. You can get quilted placemats for your table.
Okay, yeah. I guess a quilt is one thing, but quilting is sort of another thing.
Exactly, yeah.
Anything that's, I have toilet paper that's quilted.
Exactly, yeah. And the reason it's called quilted is because it's put together two layers by, form a needle, putting the two.
Yeah, and there's always like
together.
A puff somewhere. Kind of sewn in a
design.
A design, yeah. And then there's the puff part.
Yep.
And are they always, they're not always stuffed with things, or is it? Is there usually, there's usually like a layer inside there somewhere. It's probably something we'll get more into after.
Yeah, yeah, there usually is.
Because they always seem like they're puffy.
Yep.
So there are a lot of clubs for quilters, the guild. Yeah. A lot of online resources, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. There's even shows on the internet now.
Mm-hmm.
They took them off the PBS station, so they had to sort of
video, so you can...
Yeah.
Wow.
It's awesome.
So there are a lot of resources for somebody that might be interested in getting into quilting.
Yes, there is.
And do you use patterns or designs, or do you kind of design your own project, or...
The first project that I can recall doing, I did on my own, but then when I started reading books and watching the shows, I found out that there was a name for that pattern, so...
Okay.
Maybe I seen it somewhere and remembered it and did it.
It's like everything's been done, quilting, sort of?
I doubt it, no. But every pattern, there's hundreds, maybe thousands of block patterns, and there's always something you can do just to change it a little bit.
Are there, usually you buy different patterns for quilting, but I would imagine there's some available online as well, or...
Oh, just... yeah. And patterns, when it comes to a pattern for quilting, it's not the same thing you think of as a pattern for making clothing.
Okay.
It would be reading. You'd have a sheet of instructions, and you would read the measurements, the shape that maybe they want. You can get what are called templates...
Mm-hmm.
To lay down as a pattern to cut out around it. But pattern per se on a great big sheet of paper, no.
Okay. And then there's, like, it seems like a, in most cases there are a lot of parts or pieces to the quilt. So that I would think it would get a little bit monotonous as opposed to sewing a garment.
Well, if it feels like it's getting monotonous, you shouldn't be doing a quilt.
No, I guess not. Just what it kind of seems to the layman, I guess. I don't know. But then again, a lot of the pieces are, it's a similar thing when you make all the pieces, sort of, unless you're really doing something that's outrageous, I suppose, and you'd use so
many.
True,
that's true, yeah. But a lot of the patterns, your basic patterns for quilting basically are triangles and squares,
mm-hmm.
and you can do so many things with those. But that's basically where you're going.
And you mentioned just the triangles and squares, and people probably don't realize that just how many combinations you can make with a couple of simple shapes.
For sure. Yeah. Thousands of them. And then when you throw in the different colors to go with them, it just makes it all that much more diverse. So
yeah, you could use round shapes and things,
you can
too.
Use round shapes, and that's where it would come into applique, which is another part of quilting. Applique, you are sewing something on top of the cloth instead of sewing cloth to cloth.
Yeah, that's next week's show. So what is that exactly? You're sewing how?
You already have a piece of fabric that you're sewing something else onto, another shape. It could be a circle.
Okay, right.
It could be like a flower.
Because, I mean, you can't have circles together. You're going to have the space in between everything. So you have to have...
Yep. So you have to sew it on top of something that's already there.
Yeah. This is almost like a double job.
Yeah.
Sort of.
It's not something I've delved into yet.
No circle? No?
No.
Hmm.
No.
Your original projects, like you were mentioning, what kind of things? Was it quilts? The blanket type? Was that what you were quilting in the beginning?
Yeah. I started out with a queen size. The one that I can remember, I started out with a queen size quilt that were 2-inch squares sewn together.
That's small squares.
A lot of sewing and a lot of pressing. It's not, quilting isn't just cutting fabric and sewing it together. Every seam that you make, you have to press with the iron if you want it to turn out.
Wow. What about taking two queen size pieces of fabric, putting something in the middle of them, and then just sew them on a design? That could still be a quilt, couldn't it?
It definitely is. They're called whole cloth quilts.
Ooh.
And
there's even a name for it.
For sure. Then they're just beautiful. As long as you're doing a really nice quilting design.
That's the sewing part.
That's the sewing. Quilting is the actual sewing of the three layers put together. The top, the batting, and the backing.
Mm-hmm.
Quilting is the actual sewing after.
And we'll get into equipment more, but it's always with machine. You don't...
No.
You can actually sew... You can do a whole quilt by hand if you wanted to, or do people...
That's how your great-great-grandmother did it.
You know, I remember seeing some of the quilts that had... it was like they put almost like a yarn and tied it all over the place.
That is a quilt. It's a tied quilt.
A tied quilt.
Yep. And that was something fast and... very utilitarian at the time that they were normally being used. It was like, mm-hmm. we need to quilt, we need to keep warm, this is what we're going to do. It was a lot faster than sewing, especially by hand at that time.
And what happens, just out of curiosity, when you're going to use the machine, you're going to sew this, even if it was the full, what did you call it, the full quilt?
Which whole is
the whole cloth mm-hmm. quilt, sewing a design on it. And I guess if you had like a pattern that stated what kind of a design it was or anything like that, how exactly do you follow that by an eye thing, or is there a drawing on there somehow, or do you trace? Or
there are a couple of ways of doing it for the people that don't have a long arm, which I'll talk about later. A regular domestic sewing machine that you go and buy at Walmart or whatever. You would definitely mark on the cloth the pattern that you want to follow.
Okay.
Yeah. You would use a chalk usually, or there's special fabric pens that dissolve in water or with heat after you've sewn on them.
Okay, so it just disappears.
Mm-hmm.
When it's something like, I think I've seen like when you'd sew your pattern, but it'd be like a double stitch, mm-hmm. like maybe an inch apart or something mm-hmm. like that, and that's you'd actually have to still kind of trace.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Somebody, are there double pens or anything that just?
Yes, there are.
Ooh,
there are.
I thought I was making stuff up here.
And there's also double needles that you could put on the machine so that you would be sewing Ooh. Both of those lines at the same time.
Wow, you can't get anything by quilting. We're going to take a break and we'll come right back after these fine messages. We're discussing quilting today on You Talking to Me. I'm your host, Big JD, and I'm with Ruth Smallman, discussing all things quilting. And we were talking about the double sewing and the double drawing of the lines and things like that. And I don't know if I was aware that those things were available.
Oh, there.
Because it would be difficult if you actually had to somehow sew an inch apart exactly along with another thing. Or have you done that or no?
No, I haven't done it, but I've seen a lot of instructions and... there are certain feet that you put on your sewing machine that you can do that with. There's mm-hmm. all kinds of aids out there to do just about anything you want.
I guess there'd have to be, because, I mean, if I can think these things up, there's got to be everything. And there was something else I was going to mention about the... I was just going to say, if I made a quilt, it would be quilt art. That's what it would end up being.
Sure, why not?
I imagine people do that, make quilt art
and get megabucks for it.
Oh, now you got me thinking. Your most elaborate quilt that you've done, something that's the most time consuming, the most difficult, something okay. that you almost didn't want to finish maybe.
The most time consuming one would be the t-shirt quilt that I made. I just, the fact that you have to cut t-shirts that as soon as they're cut ravel or curl up.
I was just going to say t-shirt material, but it's got to be hard to work with.
It is. You have to learn a few tricks. And that is one project that took a whole lot of time, but when it was finished, it was well worth it.
And how large was that?
It was a king size.
Wow, that's big.
And it's now hanging on someone's wall.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
They didn't put it on a bed?
No. Nope.
It's on a wall.
It's on a wall. It's their...
It's got to be a big wall to put that on.
Yeah, it's their Harley wallpaper, I guess.
Harley wallpaper. It's all Harley Davidson t-shirts.
Harley Davidson t-shirts.
Harley colors, Harley shirt.
Yep. There was some... a lot of t-shirt quilts that people make, they're called memory quilts. Mm-hmm. You can use your school sports team shirts that you had or different things that. And people just usually put like a black or one color border around each shirt and sew them together. Mm-hmm. This quilt had a lot more elaborate fabrics in it with the flames that you see in a lot of Harley gear.
Mm-hmm.
Had those on it and other colors. So it was a very elaborate quilt.
And unique, sounds like.
I hope
like.
So.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't made in a factory. That's one thing.
Because nope.
I imagine there's a lot of the same quilts out there. Out and about. What are some of the reasons that you think individuals might be interested in quilting? Is it like a fun hobby, pastime?
Nowadays, I would say, to start with the first part of the question, creativity. It's a way of expressing your creativity, just mm-hmm. like painting would be, or music
okay,
for
right,
some
yeah.
people.
My guard, I guess. So.
Mm-hmm. And there's also the heritage factor. If you have an aunt or a mother or a grandmother that did it, it's something
kind of
that
gets you passed might want to... Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know when I was a kid, I embroidered a pillowcase once. I embroidered a race car on a pillowcase, but I never could find it again. I don't know what happened to it, but my grandmother embroidered and my aunts embroidered. But yeah, I can see how those things kind of get passed down.
Mm-hmm.
And especially sewing, I guess, like...
Because it's useful.
Most everybody's
so, it's useful. And years ago, it would have been out of necessity that women took what they had and put it together and reused it.
Sure, to make a blanket or whatever.
Out of old clothing. Years and years ago, when they got feed sacks and brought them home with a flower in it, the company started making markings on the feed sacks that made it look like fabric, and women would...
Oh, so they could be reused?
Reused into quilts.
Wow.
It was quite the thing.
That's actually pretty neat. You wouldn't so much see that today. They want to make sure that you buy whatever, you know, somebody's got to make some money somewhere else.
They're actually recreating feed sack fabric.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because it's the thing now. It's a big craze in quilting to go back to the fabric that was used in the past.
When I think of feed sack, I'm thinking burlap.
That's what you would think. But no, they were... they weren't
soft enough to feel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They were soft.
I don't know if I'd want a big burlap blanket on me. And what about like charity work and things like that? Have you done some of that? Or
The Harley quilt that I mentioned that I made, mm-hmm. Was I did the work on that and donated it to a hog chapter in Toledo. Which
is a Harley owners group.
Right. And they sold raffle tickets for it, mm-hmm. and it raised them $700, which they gave to muscular dystrophy.
Nice.
Yep. And a friend of mine also made a quilt that we were involved in selling tickets for, and that raised over $2,000.
Wow.
To give to a family that had a problem with a sick child. So there's a lot, and the quilters all over the world get together to do all kinds of quilting projects to donate. They auction them off maybe and donate the money, but there's always a cause
mm-hmm.
somewhere that quilters are involved in.
When you mention that there's quilters all over the world that, you know, converse or maybe, you know, forums on the internet and that kind of thing, have you ever heard of this maybe that they send you part of the quilt that they've made and you put together and then send it to someone like, and it gets maybe all around the world? And
I haven't been involved myself, but yes, I've read it. I've seen it on.
Really?
It's
See, I thought I had another innovative idea.
No, it's been done.
Yeah. And you've actually seen some of the quilts even, or?
Just on the internet.
Yeah. Well, that's neat. That would be quite a project. And I guess, if you have no problem making a king or queen size quilt on your own, but only had to do part of it and then just send it all over the place, you could actually make something rather huge.
Oh, for sure.
I don't know what you'd do with it after, though.
That big. I don't know. They have, well, as a matter of fact, there is a quilt that they put in sections, and it's called an AIDS quilt. Mm-hmm. And it started in the 80s, and I think they constantly add to it, but they take these sections and they go to places and they just lay it out. And individual people, if you knew someone who had AIDS or had died of AIDS, mm-hmm. you would make a quilt block dedicated to that person, okay. whatever style you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And you send it to them and they add it to this quilt. And it's been going around the world
It's still being done?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's still out there.
Well, that's going to be an awfully big... And do they show, like, on the internet that's so far, progress and everything?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be massive. Yards and yards and yards long. Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's more of a keepsake thing that maybe if it... Maybe it'll never be finished, but that's something they maybe would put in a... I don't know what
a
museum or something.
There are quilt museums too. So,
a museum dedicated
to quilts,
just the quilts.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's something too.
Yep.
Have you been to one?
No.
Why not?
Because there's no Harleys in them.
No. Well, see, you should have had
maybe a Harley. Maybe. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
No, I haven't been yet, but one day I hope.
Are there any anywhere near your vicinity?
No.
In Ontario even? Or?
Not that I know of.
Wow. It's a U.S. thing probably at least.
Probably. There's a little tiny quilt exhibit in St. Jacobs. that's up by Kitchener.
Where there's the St. Jacob's a flea market and everything there.
Yeah. Yeah, but very, like you're talking maybe 10 quilts. So.
And that's like the biggest, probably one of the biggest flea markets around our
area. I believe so.
Area, and you would think they'd have maybe a little more than that. But what about a sewing background for quilting? It's fairly necessary, or can somebody just say, I want to make quilts and that's what I'm going to do?
Exactly. When you talk about quilts, and if you're going to start at the very basic of quilts, you're starting with sewing two pieces of fabric together in a straight line.
How would that apply maybe to sewing after and maybe garment making and things like that? There's got to be, there must be a fair amount of difference. You'd have to learn some other things if you went to sewing after.
I would believe so, because with quilting, it's fitting the two pieces together. And when you come to garment making, you're fitting a lot more than two pieces together, and you have curves and fitting problems. And if you learn to sew garments first, quilting should come extremely easy. Mm-hmm. But to learn quilting first, you probably never want to go to sewing garments anyhow.
No, you could just wear the quilts.
Sure, why not?
But I would think, I mean, there's the difference, the pattern reading thing that you know, you're talking about. Yep. And I guess the all those other things that come to mind, like the pleats and whatever the different things are that you need to for sewing.
Right.
Pleats and darts and all those
darts
goodies. The few things I remember. And what about quilts as opposed to other types of blankets?
I think quilts probably tend to be warmer. Mm-hmm. They're definitely more decorative. And I think nowadays it's probably why most people buy them, is for the decorative purposes more than the heating purposes, because just about everybody's warm now, so.
Well, speaking of warmth, the electric quilt. We'll be back. And we're back on the All Talk Radio Network. I'm Big JD, your host on You Talking to Me. And, of course, we're talking with Ruth Smallman about quilting. And we were just, before the break, talking about quilts as opposed to regular types of blankets. And I wanted to ask you about, like, a heating blanket. Are there heating quilts?
I don't believe there are, because the whole point of the quilt is sewing the layers together in a design. And I don't think it'd be a real good idea to try to
wires
sew
through there, I guess.
Wires, yeah.
And besides that, a quilt is, you know, we talked about the inside of a quilt, and, you know, maybe we'll talk a little bit about what you would put in there, but it's insulated.
Yes.
So it's got to be a lot more. Usually quilts you see are fairly thick.
Very. Even if they're not thick, they're usually very warm.
Yeah. And what kind of material would you put inside of a quilt? Is it specific material, or are there different things that you could use if you... nylons and socks and things? Could you just...
That would have been in the old days.
Right.
Now they have batting, is what's called, the center layer is called batting. Mm-hmm. And it comes in cotton, wool, polyester, and polyester cotton blends.
Okay.
And it comes in what they call different lofts, which is different thicknesses. So if you want a puffy, pretty quilt, you would use a very high loft quilt batting.
Okay.
So...
And that's just it's more thicker, softy sponge kind of thing. And
Probably the 20s, or in and around that area, they were even using newspapers as the lining.
Okay.
They were using newspapers as the lining of the quilts because it was just not economical to have more fabric in there.
Right.
And like you said about the socks and nylons and stuff, old rags, old clothes that were unusable, things like that would have been used.
Well, I know my grandmother used to make knitted teddy bears. Mm-hmm. You know, give them to kids and whatever. And she always stuffed them with old nylons.
Yep.
Clean ones. Yep. But that's what she'd use.
Well, the most unique thing I've heard of for stuffing like that, and even stuffing in a quilt, was the lint from a dryer. Saving all the lint and using it. All that is fibers.
Is that
fibers.
Sanitary?
Why not? It's just the fibers
off
the
clothes. I
guess the
clothes already washed.
They're
when they go
washed,
in the dryer.
They're dry. The heat in the dryer had to sanitize it.
What else can you do with that stuff? I'll start saving that. Tons of that comes off the clothes.
Sure.
And you wonder how you still have your whole garment after you pull all that stuff out of the dryer.
Yep.
That's so, part of your clothes.
That's right.
I find a lot of it in my pockets. and different quilting styles. How about that? Is there different styles of quilting, or is it...
There are. There's different styles of quilts and different styles of quilting.
Okay.
The different styles of quilts...
Which you talked about a couple, like the whole... quilting.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
I should have wrote that name down, actually.
I see what you're saying. Yep, whole cloth quilting, whole cloth. That would be your solid piece of fabric, no seams involved, where the
design... Not even around the outside?
Well,
no, I'm just
eventually kidding. Around the outside would be the designs that you've marked on there and used, or if you're extremely brave that you've just gone to your machine and made.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have, of course, your pieced quilts
right.
that you can either hand quilt, which means threading your needle, sitting down, and sewing.
Wow.
Or you can use your regular sewing machine that you have at home.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit bulky work mm-hmm. and slow going, but it's nice. And they also have what's called long arm quilting. And not a whole lot of people have those, so you have to find someone who has that as a business and take your quilt top, which is the pieced part, over to them. And they would put all three pieces, the quilt top, the batting, and the backing, on this machine on right. rollers. And then they use the long arm, which has probably a space of about 16 to 22 inches that they can go back and forth and sew on in that area.
Okay, so that's what they mean by the long arm, mm-hmm. that it stretches across to...
Right.
Wow.
And instead of moving the fabric like you would at home...
It moves.
The machine moves.
Mm-hmm.
So that's your ultimate goal in life, is to have a long arm.
Off the top of my head, that reminds me of the staplers. The short, small, stubby stapler, or the long stapler
perfect,
that you can
perfect.
Put further yep. over a paper. And
yep, just multiply that in size by 10 or 20 and you've got it.
That would make life a lot easier, making quilts.
Yes, it would.
How big is a machine like that? Is it? It's got to be fairly large. I mean, a big table and a fairly long arm?
The table itself that you need to put it on the frame... if you were going to get one that you could do every quilt on, up to a king size, would have to be between 12 and 14 feet long. You have to have enough room to be able to go around the ends of that.
12 and 14 feet
long to put the quilt on. Because you're laying this whole big piece of fabric, a king size bed is...
Well, you got to remember, yeah, the quilt's got to be big enough to hang over the beds and
yep.
all that stuff.
Yep.
And maybe
so.
Tuck under your pillows and whatnot, however people put them.
That's right.
That's pretty large. On the topic of equipment, you mentioned the sewing machines. Mm-hmm. A regular sewing machine, you could do a quilt on up to maybe a certain size or...
Most people only had regular sewing machines, and they did do them. If they did the quilting on a sewing machine, they did it on
I'm just trying to wonder how you get that, like, you're sewing in the middle of this king-size quilt. Where's all the fabric go? Because you
yeah.
Aren't
you
there
have
some
to
that
roll the edges up.
Right.
You roll the edges, lengthwise edges up.
Right.
So that these are gathered, and then you only have a little bit of fabric in the... neck part of the sewing machine. It gives you more control.
I understand what you're saying. I just think that there can be so much material, because
it must be a
time where you just maybe can't. What do?
You can, no matter what you can, you just probably would be doing an awful lot of...
Manipulating that whole blanket. Wow.
I found in the project I'm working on now is it's only a crib quilt. Mm-hmm. But I found it was easier to sit down and hand quilt than to fool around with the machine. It just, to me, is easier. And if you have fabric that is cooperative and you can get the needle through it easily, that, to me, it's a lot more...
So when you do that by hand, then, and you're sewing, like, you're actually sewing the whatever the pattern is that you sew, you're sewing...
Onto the three pieces, yeah.
And then is it more a basic... I mean, you can't get too fancy by hand, can you?
Oh, you can get even fancier by hand, because you have more control. Sure, you have more control over the direction, and instead of a machine that's got a motor that...
Yeah, I guess. I would think, I guess when you've done this a lot, that it'll come a little bit easier. But I mean, just the different lengths of each little, and if you're doing some kind of pattern, like, you know, I know what mine would look like. And that's why I think, like, how could anybody do that and make it look nice and even? And
it's the same as when you started printing in grade school.
Yeah, I guess eventually everything was the same size.
Yeah, that's exactly the way to do it with sewing.
Mm-hmm. And something else I wanted to ask you about was digital machines and software.
Hmm.
Tell me about that.
Because
I believe you have a machine, though, that does take a card of some kind.
Yeah, my sewing machine, the Janome, it does take a card. I can put programs into my computer and then download them to the machine. It's more an embroidery thing. There's a little tiny bit of extra stuff for quilting, but it's more of an embroidery machine. But the embroidery also has come out with quilting designs that you can use. So it's all there.
So if you have software in the machine for a particular project, what actually does that do? What does that allow you to do?
That allows you to put your fabric under the needle,
right,
on a hoop, push a button, sit back and watch.
Okay, and it follows a pattern.
It does the whole thing because it's computerized.
But quilting, you can do that?
Yeah. No. Yeah. As a matter of fact...
But how does your material get fed in then? Or do you have to have the long arm?
Okay, now on the this machine, and if you're just doing small stuff, the machine pulls it around the way it needs to go.
Right, right.
There are quilting machines, which are normally the long arm, that are computerized, and you go on the computer screen, put in the design you want, where you want it to go, the size, all that, push your button, and go away.
We're going to push the break button right now. We'll be back right after this. And we're back. Last segment of this You Talking to Me show. I'm your host, Big JD, talking to Ruth about the about quilting, and we were on the digital machine thing and the software, and I find that fascinating. And that's the way I would want to make a quilt. Press a button, make my quilt.
Well,
or go to Walmart.
That's the finishing part.
Okay.
So.
Oh, is that some of the fancy stuff?
That's what the fancy stuff, yes.
Okay. Yeah. I can't just take my three layers and shove them in a thing and hit the button and does everything.
No.
Okay.
No. You have to do the cutting. You have to do the sewing together.
I have to go to the store and get the material and everything.
And well, unless you want to go through your closet and cut your clothes apart.
Ooh, there's an idea. All the old Harley shirts.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have any left. Have you gotten others interested in the quilting?
Well, I'm trying to get my grandkids involved in it. I have actually a quilt that we're working on together right now. And one of my friends that was sewing and seen a few of my quilting projects, and she started quilting.
Hmm.
I think that's about it for me.
You're not involved in a local group or anything like that?
No, I'm not.
You
know, no.
And what about future projects? Do you have something in mind that you'd... Was the Harley the biggest thing so far for you that was...
I believe
the most elaborate project? You got something in mind that's going to surpass that?
Yeah, I think so.
One out of real bikes, maybe?
It's going to be... Oh. No. It's going to probably be another Harley quilt with the t-shirts, but I came into the possession of some shirts from Harley dealerships all over the world.
Right.
And we're going to make a quilt that's around the world with Harley.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of,
we hear one in the background right now.
Yeah.
And that would be your husband.
Yep. And that's who wants the around the world Harley quilt.
Wow. He gets that one.
He gets that, which is really funny because he already has a Harley t-shirt quilt.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't got a quilt for my bed that I've made yet.
Oh. Is that the one that's going to be on the bed then? Or is he going to...
Never.
Is that going to be a...
That's going to be a wall
something
hanging.
You put away or...
Okay, wall hanging.
Wall, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to make him buy a raffle ticket or anything for that?
No.
Are quilts always square?
No.
The full quilt itself.
If you're going to come across a square quilt, it's usually going to be an art quilt. Most quilts are going to be rectangular.
Mm-hmm.
But in art quilts... they can be any shape. They can be a shape that's not even recognizable.
Right.
It doesn't have to have four even sides or five even sides. I've seen a quilt shaped as a butterfly.
Oh, really? Okay. That would fall under the category of art.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's pretty neat. Yeah, and you would normally think that even a square quilt is not... Would be more of an art quilt because beds aren't usually square.
That's right.
They've got to be the rectangular shape. What a time frame for making quilts. Do you put a time frame when you're making them? And do you ever have a, like, I mean, maybe for the one you were doing the wrap, they were doing the wrap before? Was
yes, that one, there was a time frame. I put in an offer to make it in May, and they didn't get back to me until September, when I was already preoccupied with another job, and they needed it by the end of December. Mm-hmm. So that one was sort of a very short time frame for making a quilt.
If a little bit of pressure there.
A whole lot of pressure.
Yeah. And have you ever sat down and said, I want to make a quilt like this, and just fly right through it, like, fairly quickly? Or are they all kind of time-consuming?
It depends on what you're doing. You can do the simplest one with just big squares, sew them together, and you're on your way. You can make a quilt. There actually is a lady who does teaching and has many, many books out that she calls Quilt in a Day. You can do it. There's methods.
What about throw quilts? Is there such a thing? Is there a name, a title for that? Or am I the first one to come up with this and I'm going to make thousands?
What do you mean by a throw quilt?
A small one that you just throw on the love seat or the chair, a throw quilt. Something smaller, maybe a little bit...
That's what it would be, is a smaller quilt.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just it.
No, small. Nothing called the throw quilt, though?
Not that I know
Big
of.
Big JD's throw quilt?
Not that I've known. There is a quilt called
there will
a
be
quillo.
Now.
Well, yeah, probably. Yeah. There's a quilt called a quillo.
A quillo, so that's got to be a part quilt and part pillow.
The quilt is made. It's usually just a one-person size quilt, and there's a pillow case of a sort sewn on one side of it.
You put your own pillowcase in, kind of thing?
No.
Or your pillow in, I mean?
You're sewing a case to the back of the quilt. You fold the quilt up in thirds, then thirds again, and it tucks itself into the pillowcase, and it's now a pillow.
Oh, the whole thing folds up into a pillow, basically.
Yep, and that's a quilt.
What about a quilt that's, you know, a nice size to go over your couch or something, and one end of it has a built-in hollow spot that you can just slide a pillow in and have a pilt? Is there such thing as that? Did I come up with the pilt?
No, I've heard of something like that, but they're called something else.
Okay, so I'm not the innovator there either.
No. You keep trying.
I'll figure something out here by the end of the show, I'll tell you.
I'm sure.
What about, like, the colors, fabrics, and threads and things like that? Very busy in the studio here, I might add, around the end of the show, so bear with us.
Okay, thread and fabric, this is mine and probably 98% of other quilters, golden rule, cotton. Pure 100% cotton. Mm-hmm. It's the best when it comes to pressing, to cutting, to everything. Cotton is your best bet. Colors, it's a personal choice. Myself, I like bright colors, and I like fabrics that have golds running through them.
Fabrics that have golds running
through
them.
It has a metallic look going through them.
Okay. It's not sparkles that you'd like.
There are sparkles, but they don't come off. This is something right into the fabric.
Okay.
In quilting fabric.
When you move it around, I mean, it's a sparkly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How about hologram?
I was just going to mention there's fabric that you wouldn't call it a hologram, but it comes awful close to it.
Okay.
And.
So hologram's my thing. The Big JD hologram.
You create quilt. It and you can be real rich.
Okay. Let me write this down. hologram quilt.
A lot of women, a lot of quilters, I'm sorry, prefer darker colors, small prints. That's just
why
the
darker colors?
Maybe because it's a more traditional look in quilts.
Is it?
I think so.
Okay.
If you see something with a lot of dark colors, you can bet it's a traditional, from an older pattern.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a matter, color is all a matter of preference.
Yeah, I guess it would be.
It would help.
You have to make a quilt a certain color, I guess.
Anything you like.
Unless, I guess, if you just needed it to match a particular room or colors and things, but then that's your choice.
And that's the way to go, yeah. For sure, and the fabrics that are out there, there's just thousands and thousands, and you can go online, mm-hmm. go to the fabric store. But when it comes to buying fabric, when it comes to a quilt, you don't want to go to a discount fabric store. You want to go to a quilting store because quilting fabric is different thread count than what you get.
A different fabric.
Yeah, and you're going to have a lot of trouble with distortion and stretching and stuff if you get cheap fabric. So you're going to want to go to the quilting stores and get the good stuff. Maybe for your first one you want the discount, but right. for the rest, no.
It's for the practice quilt.
Yeah.
Big JD's practice quilt gift set. That's my...
No, they're out there.
Oh, geez. Okay. There's a, we're closing into the end of the show here, and I just wanted to ask you a couple other quick points here. Washing a quilt, can you just...
Depending on the material, depending on
what you made it out of.
And what the reason for the quilt was. If you made a quilt that was meant to go on a bed, then it's meant to be washed. Mm-hmm. You would have already made those decisions before you put the quilt together.
Okay.
If it's an art quilt, very unlikely you're ever going to wash it. Maybe a soft vacuuming or something. Mm-hmm. But most quilts are washable.
Okay.
Except, let's go back to antique quilts. No, never. I've found out.
Something has been handed down.
Yeah, those should not be washed.
Or maybe you take that to dry cleaning.
Not even that. You find somebody who's a quilting expert and let them lead you.
And what about any educational resources as far as quilting? I've not really seen anything, but can you go to a... Well, there is like online and things like that, but are there classes in local areas and
there
things?
There are. That you find a quilt shop and you're going to find quilting classes.
A quilt shop. Is that different than from a sewing place, or would you go to a sewing place and say, you know, I'm looking for some quilting education? Or
you could, but
there,
I have
there
found the majority...
Are quilt shops around?
There are strictly quilt shops. Okay. The majority of... places where you find sewing are usually a quilt shop and not a particular sewing shop, especially in southern Ontario.
So that's the best advice probably for somebody that wants to get into quilting. If you don't know somebody that quilts, or it hasn't been something that was passed down to you, then you want to check into
that, or go buy yourself like Quilting for Dummies.
Quilting
it's
for Dummies.
It's out there.
A book.
It's out there, yep.
Great. Well, I really appreciate you being on the show today. I don't know if there's anything else that you had in particular that you wanted to mention about quilting that we maybe didn't touch on.
No, nothing I can think of.
Okay, we appreciate you being on the show.
And thank you.
You're welcome. I'm Big JD for You Talking to Me. We'll see you next week, folks. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD. A different topic, a different guest, every week, right here on the All Talk Radio Network. For more information, visit the website, www.youtalkingtome.ca. That's the letter U, talking, the number 2, me. youtalkingtome.ca.